My readings today start with Psalm 96. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone around about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise. Before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, the resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where the body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I don't know how it's going for you so far on this Easter Sunday morning, but you really would have had to have had a truly bad night, not to have felt something of the presence and the energy, the fullness of life that Christ. The risen Christ gives as we have been singing God's praise. Because today we celebrate, and we celebrate that Christ is risen. And the opening to the psalm that John read expresses it so well. What we've been doing, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim the good news that he saves. And I get it, that's not hard to do. You've got an ounce of life, and you've been able to do that here this morning. Jesus is not in the grave. Death has been defeated. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the psalmist then goes on to say, "Great is the Lord. He's really, truly most worthy of our praise." And maybe someday, a lot more hallelujahs and amens will be released from not only our hearts, I know they are, but also from our lips here as well. Because that really is the joyous shout of our lives that Christ is risen. Great is the Lord, worthy of our praise. And, you know, you can see so far this psalm that John read, Psalm 96, strikes all the right notes of celebration for a morning like today. But then the psalmist goes on to write this, and you know, you have to wrestle with this when you see us, because he says, he is to be feared, like God is to be feared. And you wonder, alongside all of that joyous shout and song and praise, is that a right Easter note to be striking, as it were, that God is also to be feared? I was talking with a pastor friend of mine last Sunday, and he told me of someone in his congregation who, over the last while, has experienced a lot of healing, God's healing, a deep measure of the risen life of Christ changing and renewing him. This particular man's earliest recollections of his life, my friend told me, could be symbolized like this. You know what I'm representing there? When the psalmist calls us to fear God, we read words like that and we wonder, what is this God like? Who is he like? Well, this is not the God who's to be feared because he's some kind of abuser or some kind of hideous monster. This is a different kind of fear. I think it's even been struck in some of the songs that we've already sung this morning. This is fear understood as respect and awe. This is God being so totally, completely, absolutely worthy of our praise that we give him our utmost attention before anything, before anyone else. We're not distracted in that in any way. Have you ever talked with someone? They've been talking with you, and while you were chatting with them, you just watch their eyes, and it's like they never looked at you once. They're talking away to you, and they're looking, oh, who's the next person I can, you know, and you feel like they're not paying any kind of attention to me. I mean, they're just saying words. They're mouthing things. But you know, I think to myself that's sometimes how I treat God, how I. You know, I believe God. I've got God in my life, but you know, all the time that I've got God in my life, I'm looking this way, past and beyond God, to see what it is I need to do, who I'm responsible for, all the stuff I have to control and change, and I'm not paying any attention. I'm not focused in any kind of way. Well, this fear is the fear that's understood really as giving your total focus to God, eyes forward, hearts open, no distraction. You're filled with reverence, and then the psalmist goes on to say, worship the Lord in all his holy splendor, tremble before him. Well, if you had a wrong sense of fear there before, the trembling might get to you as well. What's that mean, fear and trembling now? Well, the psalmist is developing a picture of being so overwhelmed by the majesty and the greatness and the beauty of God that you're undone. It's like you're trembling, you're shaking with awe, you're overcome by wonder. This kind of fear and trembling, I think it oftentimes, at least as I see it in the scripture and have experienced it on occasion in life before God, you're almost like at a loss for words. It's not like you have joyous songs of praise, Christ is risen from the dead, come alive. No, you're at a loss as to even what to say. You know, the psalm before, Psalm 95, says this, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord. And the picture here is that worship, maybe even resurrection worship, is worship that where you put your nose to the ground, as it were, before God. You're on the ground before God. In Genesis 42 and verse 6, the brothers of Joseph, there's been a famine in the land, and they've come to Egypt, and they had sold their brother Joseph into slavery. They had no idea that he was now the governor in Egypt, and they come, and they're standing there before him, and they don't recognize him, but he instantly recognizes them, and they bow. It says in 42 Genesis verse 6 that they bowed down on the ground, their noses to the ground before him. That's the picture that's being given here. To worship God in all of his holy splendor, to be filled with fear and trembling, is to have like your faces to the ground before God. I was thinking about that, and you know, with a screwdriver, we could take out a few of these pews. And we could do that here this morning. I mean, imagine what it would be like. You go home, you're heading off for Easter dinner. Ross and Nita are heading off to brunch with the family in Cambridge. And they say, well, what was church like this morning? Oh, they had us fall face down. And they think, did you actually go to a Presbyterian church? What kind of church did you go to this morning that they do that kind of thing in church, face down on the ground before? I mean, what's going on? I mean, is that really appropriate Easter Sunday kind of worship, face down before God? Well, maybe you're wondering when I was going to get to the resurrection passage. I'm going straightway into it now because there's really something instructive in this account in Matthew for us. It says in Matthew 28:9, Jesus met the women and he greeted them. And they ran to him and they grasped his feet and they worshiped him. Quick question. I mean, I know you've got this. I mean, if you don't have it, you're not awake on Resurrection Sunday morning here. What position were these women in when they grasped the feet of Jesus? They were on the ground. They were face down on the ground before Jesus. And they worshiped him. And Jesus then says to them, don't be afraid. Go tell. You see, what's that don't be afraid stuff there after what I've been talking about? Well, I think he's saying, hey, listen, don't have any fear of reprisal. I mean, there's no judgment, no condemnation. There's no finger pointing coming. I mean, this is truly a holy moment. And I believed that Jesus welcomed the reverent submission. That's what was being given to him by these women, bowing low, grasping his feet. And this, you know, like sometimes submission's a bad word. You know, there can be like forced or coercive submission. That's not what this is. It's something so freely, wholeheartedly given. This is submission that gave to Jesus. Picture it, these women on the ground grasping his feet, worshiping him. This is fear and trembling submission that gives Jesus the highest regard, the greatest honor. Do you think they're looking to the left or to the right? Not a chance. Reverent submission before Jesus. Years later, the Apostle Paul wrote about this kind of first down worship in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul told the Christians in Rome to offer themselves, to offer their bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This, he says, is the appropriate kind of worship that you're to give God. You see, worship, as I'm talking about it here, is a face-down kind of worship. It goes way outside the walls of this building. We're not going to take, you know, pews out, rest assured. I mean, this kind of face-down, reverent submission to Jesus, you take this with you. This is who you are. Because of Easter, because of Jesus rising from the dead, you take this with you to the classroom on Tuesday. Monday's off, is it? To the boardroom, to the factory showroom. I mean, to whatever room of life it is that you find yourself living in. I don't think really, in a real way, that the physical aspect of being face down is the main point here about worship. True worship, worship to the risen Christ, is submitting yourself, your whole life. Nothing gets held back. You give it to God. These women did. We're yours. I'm yours, God. Take me. Lead me. Use me. You're God. I trust you. I will follow you. You're my Lord. You're my master. And you offer Jesus that kind of reverent submission. You then get to hear his word as these first witnesses of his resurrection did. Go tell. You know, it's interesting to me, rather surprising actually, how easy it can be to come on a Sunday morning, to come on an Easter Sunday morning and sing all of our songs about the day that changed human history, the cornerstone of history, and then leave and not have a word to tell to anybody after we leave here how Jesus, risen from the dead, has actually changed your life. has done something wonderful and new in you. I remember reading the prayer of someone who, the prayer that he had written out, asked God to Easterize his life. Oh, wow. He didn't say pasteurize. He said, God, Easterize my life, right? It's a rather strange kind of sounding word, but I get it. I get it. I hope you get it. I believe all of us need every day to be Easterized. We need a fresh experience of Easter so that we can say from the heart, we can sing from the heart, you are Lord, you're Lord. You're risen from the dead and you are Lord. Now a heart that's reverently submitted to Jesus as Lord has a story to tell others. And let me say here, don't be afraid. Because when you leave here this morning, we're not going to give you a signboard that you have to wear in the corner of Dundas and Main or Dundas and Mill. That's not what the go and tell is really all about in any kind of a way. This is a story, your story. It's your Easter story, your story to be told in the very ordinary realities of your life, where you live, where you're going today, where you'll be tomorrow, told in your words, not my words. You know, there's no canned approach to this. Your words telling the story how you have received, you know, you've been Easterized. You've got this redeeming, healing, transforming Easter touch of God upon your life. It's a, you know, I say all of that, I want to say this too, that it's really a simple story to tell. This is not a story that you need a theology degree to tell. This is not the preacher's story. This is your story. It's simply your story in your words about what the risen Jesus has done to change your life. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Fearful submission, reverent submission given to Jesus. And then he says, go and tell. And it's also the story, I believe, finally, of our church. Our church's Easter story. At Knox, you see it on the screen, we worship the living Christ, and we want to invite others to worship the risen Jesus with us. During the Easter season, Easter season? Right. You know, that goes all the way now through to Sunday, May the 12th, right? So there's quite a few Sundays in there, but during the Easter season, I'm going to be giving a series of messages, four out of the six Sundays, I believe it is, on what I'm going to call the resurrection alternative. And what I mean by that, I mean, this is a great day, but next Sunday, it's going to get better. We're in the Easter season. This just isn't a one-shot deal that we have here, right? The people that you know, the people who live in your community, and I know you come from Burlington and Dundas and other parts of Flamborough and the region around, some visiting with us this morning, but the people where you live need to hear an alternative story to the story that the world is giving them and offering them. We sang about it this morning. God's true story. They need to hear the story of how God right now, right in our midst, is active at work, changing the world, changing people's lives through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and a whole new way of living, the alternative story of life. And that's a present story. That's a story that stretches into the future. It's been unleashed through Jesus being raised to life from the dead. You take away the resurrection. If the resurrection didn't happen, Jesus physically being raised by the Father from death to life, then all the things that we really believe, and I know you believe, and you practice, all of those things that matter, you understand, this is who we are, this is how we've got to live right here, right now in our present. Things like the simple acts of justice and mercy, the deeds of love, of, you know, being a person of kindness and forgiveness, someone who serves and someone who blesses others. I'm going to tell you, all of it's irrelevant for the future. I mean, good on you for now, but it means nothing for tomorrow. And in one way, even its importance for today gets radically diminished if there was no resurrection. It's Jesus' resurrection that gives meaning here and now and meaning into the future of all that we give ourselves to be and to do. The world changed on that first Easter. I want to invite the praise team to come forward. And on that first Easter, the world gained a new and an alternative story of life. And there are fewer people than ever. There really are. You know, my daughter's middle daughter's a school teacher, and just in one of the sections that they were doing, there must have been something about the season that we're in, the holiday that was coming up, and she just casually asked the students how many would be in a place of worship on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. 24 students. How many do you think put up their hand, said they'd be somewhere? I'm not pointing the finger at any one of those others. There were about four. You see what's happened here? More than ever, there are people who are buying into the world story and not this new alternative story, the true story of life that God offers. And Easter's becoming, strangely, more of a family day. And I suppose that's good in its own way, but that's the primary thing, more of a family day than it is a holy day. The holiest day that we celebrate in the liturgical calendar leading us into the Easter season. So I want to encourage you from my heart on this holy Easter Sunday morning and day to not be afraid. Where you live, where you connect, who you rub shoulders with, don't be afraid. Venture out and tell someone just that, oh, they're the resurrection alternative. We've got something about that going on at our church on Sunday morning. We started, actually, this coming Sunday. I hope you'll join us. I hope you'll be here, and you'll bring someone with you. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing as we leave. Happy Day. Lord God, this song we're going to sing for us is not something fleeting and passing. It's not something that ends when we leave the walls of this building. It's the truth of life, the truth of this world, that something's happened. You've raised your Son Jesus from death to life. And there's a happiness, a joy, a newness of life we have now that cannot be measured. It gives meaning here and now. And it gives assurance about tomorrow. It fills us with a wonder about what's coming. When we live and serve and bless and honor and worship you in your new heaven and new earth. Help us now as we sing to have this song be a deposit into our hearts that we carry through this day and indeed through this next month and a half of the Easter season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.